Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The Minister for Health has said he believes all HSE staff employed during the COVID-19 pandemic should be given a financial bonus for their heroic efforts. Stephen Donnelly indicated he would support monetary bonuses for all healthcare workers, from those on the front line treating COVID patients to those in administration roles. And Minister Donnelly, speaking after touring the HSE's Limerick COVID-19 vaccination centre at Limerick Racecourse, Patrickswell, said HSE healthcare workers should be rewarded. When specifically asked if this should include financial bonuses, Donnelly replied, "I want to see something done. Yes, I absolutely really do. I think our healthcare teams have been incredible. We're still fighting the fight, but I definitely want to see some form of recognition for the extraordinary work that they have all put in." He went on to say, "We do need to acknowledge that nurses and doctors, allied health professionals, administrators, for everyone who has worked in the HSE over the last year and a half, and that they've had an incredibly difficult time, and I think they represent the very best of us, and they have stepped up to the plate." But today I want to know what you think of this, and should it be extended to all workers who still had to work throughout the pandemic? Now, reading some of the comments online on this particular one, one person said, "Honestly, I think it depends on what staff. I'm HSE admin and the pandemic didn't really affect my work at all. So should I benefit over the supermarket staff or cleaners? I'm all for rewarding frontline and hospital staff. But why would someone somewhere like medical cards, for example, get a bonus? Every sector has actually struggled. In fact, some sectors didn't struggle at all. They did very little within the HSE." While another person said, "I don't necessarily agree with this. I'm a frontline healthcare worker who has worked with COVID-positive patients throughout the pandemic. Thankfully not in ICU, so avoided the worst of it. I think we're just doing our jobs. I don't think I need to be paid extra for a job I voluntarily signed up for. The country will be broke enough after all this ends without splurging more money because inevitably everyone, including the pencil pushers, will want a pay cut or a payout too. If anything, I'd grant extra holidays instead of cash to those staff that deserve it most. Obviously, extra holidays cost money too, but I think it sits better to reward those who put their lives on the line by finally getting a stretch of time off duty to recover for themselves." That's not a bad idea, actually. Give people extended holidays or longer holidays who've worked harder. And by the way, I'm not against the idea of, you know, commending those who worked hard during the pandemic. But I think that person makes a really good point. Somebody say in the medical card section in the HSE, they didn't work any harder during the pandemic. They probably worked less, actually, in fact, because many other people said to me they couldn't get through to them. There are a lot of departments within the HSE and within government that didn't work very hard during the pandemic. There are a lot that did. There's no doubt about that. But, and in relation to the money, by the way, somebody mentioned the money. The money's not a big deal, really, because it goes back into the economy, generally speaking, either way. So it's a kind of money go round. But if we're going to do that and we're going to spend a huge amount of money, I've two other options to suggest for you. Why not just give it to everybody? Give everybody the extra. I mean, every man, woman and child, well, I say child, every man, woman and person over the age of 18, as they've done in other countries, are given what they call helicopter money, which is basically money that you must spend in the economy in bricks and mortar. You can't spend it online. It has to be spent in retail, restaurants, bars, whatever. And it must be spent in Ireland. I think it's a wonderful idea. It boosts the economy. It boosts business at the moment. I spoke to somebody yesterday in a restaurant, went in for my dinner. Had a quick chat with him. I said, "How's business?" He said, "It's quiet this week." He said, "It wasn't too bad last week, but now that they're all open again," he said, "it's kind of petered off a little bit." So we said, "We're going to struggle again." So, I mean, it is difficult for restaurants and bars. And can I just say one thing before I come to you, Martin, sorry, before I go into this topic. The individuals who are slating pubs and restaurants online for discrimination, you should be ashamed of yourselves, because you're essentially a hypocrite, because you're discriminating now by boycotting those bars and restaurants. Those bars and restaurants have no choice. Your argument is with the government, not with the bars and restaurants, spray painting graffiti on their walls, calling them scum and all that kind of stuff. That achieves nothing. Those bars and restaurants have struggled for the last year and lost enough money. They're citizens just like you, hardworking people. How dare you have a go at them? They are not the ones who brought in the legislation. They just want to get their bars and restaurants back open again. And if you feel it's discrimination, absolutely, you go to the government. That's their choice. They brought in the legislation, not the bars and restaurants. They're just doing the job. And there's a fine if they don't do their job. So leave them alone. All right, stop picking on them, saying you're going to boycott them and all this kind of carry on. It's childish. Absolutely childish. No matter what side of the argument you happen to be on, it's childish. Don't ever buy into the divide and conquer. Because, of course, the only people that will suffer is us, the citizens. Now, sorry, getting back to this. So, in relation to money that Stephen Donnelly wants to give away, you know, do you think that people who worked throughout the pandemic should receive a bonus? Not just doctors and nurses, but everybody. There are people who probably worked in supermarkets, worked a lot harder than some of the administrators within the HSE, who some of them probably did very little. People, the girls and guys on the Tesco's, you know, checkouts or Dunn's or whatever it is. The people who drove the trucks, who brought the bread to the shops, the food on your table when everybody else was closed. All those people all worked extra hard during the pandemic. The guy who delivered the Jack's Rolls, because of course there was a run on Jack's Rolls, wasn't there, at the start of all this? Everybody was buying Jack's Rolls like they were going out of fashion. Brennan's Bread. There's always a run on Brennan's Bread every time we go into a panic in this country. The number's 087-188-0008. Do you agree with specifically just giving a bonus to doctors and nurses and HSE staff? Let me know what you think. The number's 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Martin, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Martin?
Hi, Danny. How are you?
Good. Martin, throughout most of the last year and a half, the hospitals haven't been overwhelmed. There were points when they became a little bit busy. There is no doubt about that. But yeah, generally speaking, they haven't been overwhelmed. And, you know, the HSE staff, yes, they worked hard. They were probably understaffed a lot of the times because a lot of people were off on isolation, et cetera, and rightly so because they were dealing with patients. But should they be rewarded financially?
No, I think, I mean, there's a lot of comment made already on the programme that is quite thoughtful and balanced. I think, you know, when you mentioned divide and conquer, you know, this virtue signalling specific groups out is doing nothing in making us feel as if we're in this together, mm-hmm. you know, and all this separation it is causing division because there's always going to be somebody put out saying, well, I did this and I did that, you know, why should they? I mean, there's always going to be that. So, you know, like you said, the certain sectors of the HSE weren't overwhelmed, certain sectors were. But then again, you've got certain people who, in a low-paid job, went regardless of COVID, and kept the shops open, mm-hmm. kept the food running and all the rest of it. So, you know, when you start picking on one group as opposed to another, especially a group that actually paid to you know, be there and do the job, of nursing and care, you know, you can't really be singling people out. And I think, as comments already been made, you know, we ought to look at this more holistically and say, well, okay, we all need a bit of helicopter money to kickstart the economy. Let's put the resources into that. And I do think it's a great idea to give, you know, an extra holiday or something like that in lieu of...
Yeah, I think if somebody said to me, you know, I'll give you a bit of a bonus, but or do you want 2 weeks off? I'd say, give me the 2 weeks off. Thanks very much. Well, no, my mind you, it's the same thing. You still have to get paid for the 2 weeks off. So yeah, it is costing money anyway.
I'm sure somebody who's been downed up, you know, in intensive care, you know, don't... there 24/7 would enjoy a holiday, you know?
Yeah, by the way, on that note, can I just say I've now become a supporter of People Before Profit. I never did before because they've now suggested that we should have a bank holiday every month. 3 more bank holidays. Well done, People Before Profit. I agree. There should be a bank holiday every single month. I mean, I think it's a great idea.
The other aspect of all this is, you know, healthcare workers have been working, you know, in a crappy system. So mm-hmm. are we actually just rewarding them for, you know, trying to make something good out of something bad? You know, there is that aspect as well.
I mean, I don't want anybody to think for 1 minute that I'm minimising the effort that they put in, particularly during the tougher times, say January and February and maybe last April, you know, when it became difficult and when there was a lot more cases, a lot more hospitalisations. So I'm not trying to minimise that. But generally speaking, they haven't been overwhelmed. Thankfully, by the way, thankfully they have.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, they work hard. But mind you, and I'm not being a smartass when I say this, when you sign up to be a doctor or a nurse, that's your job. You know what I mean? That's what you do. You help sick people. And sometimes you're going to have, like, you'll have a bad flu season other years when this is all over. We're probably going to have another bad flu season in 2 years' time. You're going to have measles outbreaks. You're going to have all sorts of different things happen. You'll have bad accidents where maybe a lot of people involved and there's a rush. So, you know, you're always going to have those situations as a doctor or nurse, just like any other job.
Yeah, so I think the answer has to be holistic. It has to be a group thing. We're all in this together, mm-hmm. you know, and make it something that actually lifts the economy rather than, you know, takes and identifies particular segments of it, you know.
Okay, so you would agree kind of with paying everybody rather than just paying groups of people. In other words, because I believe, by the way, in relation to this, you know, as much as the HSE staff, well, most of them, not all of them, did a sterling job during the pandemic, you know, I also believe the people in the supermarkets did a wonderful job from day one.
Yeah, I do, more so the people in the supermarkets, because, you know, it's you know, before the plastic screens and all the rest of it, you know, they were facing it full on.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Nobody knew what the situation was.
And by the way, you mentioned the plastic screens there. You know, I mean, in the restaurants and the bars and what have you, where, you know, the staff had to do extra work because they had to do a lot of, pardon me, table service.
Yeah.
They had to work in hot restaurants with masks on their faces all day. I mean, all that was harder, for them. So equally, yeah, they worked harder during this as well, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean... As I say, it's where society has had to pull together.
Mm.
So this business of separating off particular groups and flagging them,
yeah,
just actually divides the whole exercise and put pictures against each other as usual, which is just what this government tends to do anyway.
I know, I think it's really sad when we see people being pitted against each other. And, you know, as much as people all know my opinions on everything at this stage, right, and know my views on everything at this stage, but when I see, you know, and I don't necessarily agree with discrimination of people based on whether they have or haven't got a vaccine, there are crazy anti-vaxxers out there, and there are people who are just cautious, and that's a different thing altogether, right? I don't think we seem to separate the two. But when I see, you know, people who I'm assuming are anti-vaxxers, spray painting pubs and bars, you know, telling people to boycott them or calling them scum because they're asking for the COVID QR code to let people in the door. I just find this absolutely despicable.
I can't get my head around that.
It's not the it's not the owner of the pub's decision.
No.
It's the government's. If your issue is with the government, it's not with the pub. It's not with the restaurant. They're suffering enough.
Absolutely, and that's where it should be directed and get on the streets and make a noise about
if
it.
If that's what you want to do, yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's what you want to do, and I applaud people who have tried to make people aware that, you know, a certain aspects of our liberty have been, you know, eroded or trampled on or walked on or whatever you want to use. You know, there has been a lot of that going on, and I suppose it's been there for the common good. But I don't think this country's government works for the common good. It only works for one section of society, and that's the guys with the money.
Well, I suppose that depends on the opinion you have on the decisions the government are making over the last year and a half. Well, Martin, thanks very much for that. Okay, Martin believes, well, it should be distributed a little bit better, or indeed he would be more in favour of maybe, you know, boosting the economy by giving everybody the money and not picking on one particular sector of the community, even though we're not doubting that they worked hard. But basically what you're doing is, again, it's we're all in this together is the slogan, isn't it? And if we're all in this together, surely everybody together should benefit together rather than, you know, picking groups out and saying, well, you worked harder than you did, so we're going to give you a few quid, but you didn't work quite as hard, so we're not giving you anything. You know, and a lot of people worked. 30% of the population have worked right through the pandemic. I'm going to pat myself on the back, but I haven't had a day off. I had a week's holiday in just over a year. Week's holiday. So I'm not patting myself on the back, but I'm just saying, I was here all the time. So a lot of people worked throughout the pandemic. I'm not saying particularly that I worked harder. Yes, we had more stories to do at one stage between kind of June and September last year particularly. There was a lot of stories, a lot of information about, you know, COVID-19. But, I mean, there are people out there who did work genuinely a lot harder during the pandemic. And they equally deserve to be rewarded if that's what you're going to do. But I'm saying rather than reward people, put the money into the economy. That will benefit all of us.
Hello, Niall. Are we mad? Ginny Mac, we shouldn't. People are just doing their jobs. Do you know? I know they might have been a bit busier, but they got paid. Do you know? They got paid extra for doing it. Do you know? If we start going down this road, we're going to be rewarding everybody for doing any little extra bit of labour involved in their work. That's my opinion anyway. Thank you.
No, it wasn't just an extra bit of labour. It was a pandemic after all. But anyway, oh, by the way, just to the person who rang my researcher and told me that I should smother myself. To suggest, by the way, that you're a healthcare worker, you should be ashamed of yourself. I really hope I don't end up in a hospital that you're in. Let me go to Donal. Donal, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Donal?
How you doing, Niall? Niall, I just wanted to say I'm sick to the teeth of this patronising, given healthcare workers...
Well, they have worked hard. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, they've done their job, Niall. That's exactly... And some of them done a very good job. A damn good job. But at the end of the day, that's what they've done. They've done their job. You don't give extra money to the postman for delivering your letters. I'm sick of it. Listen, what they should do is get that Muppet Tuberty out again and patronise a few people on the NHO when he had the airline pilots on. For what? For picking up boxes in China. No, it's a joke. Patronising, that's all this country does lately. They've done their job, and as I said, some of them done a damn good job.
I'm glad you're recognising that they did do a damn good job.
Yes, but they've done their job. That's what they've done. There was 98 soldiers killed overseas. What are we doing about that?
Well, I'm sure those people get recognised as well.
No, they don't, mate.
I mean, hold on. When a soldier goes overseas on a tour, he gets paid by NATO, isn't it? And then they get paid by the Irish Army as well.
Yes.
So they do get extra.
I'm
not having a go, by the way. I'm not having a go. I'm just saying, they do get extra.
You get extra money in the HSE if you do overtime. I have two sisters working in the HSE, and they told me they got, every hour they worked, they got paid.
No, I know somebody who's a nurse, and she actually has, financially, she did quite well, because she would have been doing a lot of extra work. Yeah.
And
getting paid for it, of course.
And as far as these clerical staff and all that,
Well, no, I agree with you on that. And by the way, the HSE worker who sent in the message as well, saying that they work at administration, and as much as they agree with some of the doctors and nurses on the front line getting it, she said there are people in certain departments. She mentioned, for example, medical cards. You know, why should they get a bonus? They haven't actually worked any harder. If anything at all, some of those departments weren't working really at all. They were on a skeleton staff. So, yeah, I get that. But I mean, okay, but Donald, the idea... If we've got some money to give away, and I think Martin made a good point about dividing and conquer, right? That we shouldn't be treating people differently. But hang on, should we throw out a load of money to everybody to boost the economy?
I'm with you. Anyone that stayed working during this pandemic, because this is not that people took advantage of this PUP as well, and they did take advantage of it. So anyone that kept working...
So anybody who didn't claim PUP, basically.
Exactly, should get money back. And it should be like a gift card that has to be spent in the economy. That way, then the economy won't lose a penny. Actually, it'll gain. The domestic economy will gain. Because it's like a washing machine. You just throw it in and it's going around. I totally agree with that. But I'm sick to see this patronising. As I said, leave it up to that Muppet Tuberty. He can have his show. They can all go on that then.
Right, okay. Somebody said, somebody says here, that's a fantastic idea to give everyone a voucher. Watch money circulate to encourage spending, businesses, etc. in shops online. After a pub, although apparently borrowed, when push comes to shove, the cash can be found. Well, yes, they do have. The government always have money when push comes to shove. We know that. And in relation to, I don't know whether you're saying that people would spend it online or not online. You could easily limit that. It's very easy to do. That you just limit it, that it can only be spent on what they call bricks and mortar, which is physical places. Because I have to be honest, the retail sector have suffered very badly because people have got into being socially conditioned to spend money online. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number's 087-188-0008. Niall, I completely agree with you. And I do work in the healthcare sector. I work privately. And I know that some doctors and nurses worked very hard. But equally, I can tell you stories about doctors and nurses who took advantage of COVID-19 and were constantly self-isolating, saying they'd been in contact with somebody with COVID-19. I'm sure that probably did happen too. I don't think it was happening wholesale. But there was a stage, I remember going back at one point we were very low because so many people had to self-isolate. And I think at one point didn't the government have to turn around and say, listen, if you're a healthcare worker, you know, and you've been in contact, you know, you got to come back to work again. I think didn't they reduce the time or something like that because we were so low on staff. And at that particular point, from what I remember talking to people who worked within the hospitals, that then they were working extremely hard. It was because they were low on staff more than anything else. They were very low on staff. I think at one stage, 25% of the staff were out. Self-isolating because they'd been in close contact to somebody else. Government abuse money. The last thing we need them to do is having more power over our finances. It's going down the wrong road. Helicopter money, UBI, digital currency, expiration date on your money, limits on what you can spend it on, everything rented in the future, nothing owned. I'm not saying there's a limit on what you can spend. You're kind of taking... You're jumping too far to what I'm over what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you're going to give helicopter money out... You have to limit what it's spent on. You can't give helicopter money out and then have people spending it on Amazon, where the money is not going into the Irish economy, it's going into the American economy, or is spending it in Spain in some hotel. Let me go to John, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, John?
Greetings from the front line.
Greetings, John. Yes, John, I mean, do you believe it's a good idea to give it to one section of the necessary workers during the pandemic, which would be the doctors and nurses?
No, it's not. And I don't agree either. We're giving it to every Tom, Dick and Harry in the whole country because, look, at the moment, the country is awash with money, and we all know it's borrowed money, right? $57 billion for this whole pandemic now, right? And we're going to be scratching the road now down the road again. Are we going to go back to we can't build social houses? Of course, I never again want to hear these terms like that. You know, we haven't the money, or it's not the money as regards the health service. Already there's cracks appearing. There was a man who had to sit down in the COH here yesterday, and on the floor inside the A&E because his mother.
Well, I know. Well, look, John, I think we've talked about that. A&Es are back to where they were pre-pandemic. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I know somebody went to A&E a week and a half ago, and they ended up walking out. They were told they'd be waiting 12 hours.
Yeah, well, there was a friend of mine, she was 16 or so, that beats that. Right?
Okay, well, that, by the way, you know, I find that it was disgraceful enough 2 years ago, but it's even more disgraceful now, considering we've had a year and a half to figure this out and work out how to stop that from happening in the future. But I have no idea why it's happening again. We could have built a hospital in that year and a half. Do you know what I mean?
Let's be honest, Dick. I mean, this is a pure PR thing, though, for Donnelly. You know, it's a PR exercise for him, right? To just get him in the good books, that's right. And, you know, I mean, he's unreal. Like, I mean, he won't come on your program. Like, I mean, I thought Harris was bad, but his tone is worse. Like. But, I mean, when this thing is all over and the dust settles, and hopefully it will sooner rather than later, are we going to go back to the so-called normality of trolleys being out the door, of no social housing being built? There was just before this thing started, there was a figure came out. This is where you're going to spend money. This is the direction I would push it in. If you watch the program the other night there about value money, I think your debt was there and the program there. There was one caseworker there. She had 43 families in her books. Like, now, in the name of Christ and his holy, you know, let's be honest, Neil, right? How could any one person, social worker, take care and deal adequately with 43 families?
No, it's an impossibility.
They reckon we need 5,000, and they're not even trained up at the moment, except they're related to social workers.
Well, I had the answer for that before, and I don't want to go into another topic, and it is a separate topic, but I did have the answer for that before, and the answer to that before is that we have so many young people who train to become carers, doctors, nurses, who leave this country because there's better opportunities, more so, and better money in other countries, that we should, and I said it before, they should be charged and have to pay for their education, but be given a government loan. And if they don't leave the country, and if they use the services in this country, they don't have to pay it back. That's the way they do it in other countries. We'll say that's a whole other topic. Graham, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. Adrian Graham.
I'm pretty good now. Enjoying me holidays. How are you getting
on? Ah, Graham, my old school teacher buddy. How are you getting on?
Oh, brilliant.
Feet up, slippers on, ice creams in hand.
I'm going to have some ice cream in a minute.
A good man, yeah, yeah. Can't beat a good old cornetto.
So are you starting me out for a bonus or what?
Strawberry Cornetto. So, Graham, I mean, this idea that we want to give a bonus, you know, financial bonus to one sector of the community. Martin said earlier on, again, it's a bit of divide and conquer. We're meant to be all in this together. You should give it to everybody if you're going to give it to one section.
Well, I think divide and conquer implies intent, so I'm not sure that it is that. And it's Donnelly trying to dig himself out of a hole because he's not exactly the most popular fella in the world.
Nah, that's an understatement.
So then again, Coveney, Foley, yeah. Okay, none of them are particularly popular.
No.
So do I think it's somewhat self-serving from his perspective? Absolutely. On the other side of that, look, I think one of your previous callers were saying, and you were saying yourself, across the board, everybody gets whatever, a couple of hundred quid, has to be spent in, you know, bricks and mortar, has to be spent in restaurants or wherever. It has to be spent in the state.
Yeah, but they call it a bricks and mortar voucher.
Yeah. Yeah. And then potentially those working within the HSC get a small bit more. I find it very, very hard to argue against that.
Yeah, okay.
Because, I mean, for people to turn around, oh, you know, you can't split it down all within the HSC. Oh, this person did more than that person.
Well, what they did in the north was they gave 500 quid to, I think they had a budget for, say, 1 million quid, right? And they gave 500 to specific people within the healthcare system, i.e. the doctors and nurses and the people on the front line.
Yeah, but
I mean, there are others within the HSE who did nothing during the pandemic, who sat their bums practically scratching, because some of those...
Well,
some of those
did nothing.
Well, not nothing, but you know, but you understand what I'm saying. There are certain...
They didn't have a more difficult time, yeah.
No, and certain departments that actually weren't busy at all. Their departments, you know, were on a kind of skeleton service. Similar to, say, the passport office, which was on a skeleton service.
To work that out fairly, then throw a crack on. I would think it's more likely to cause more division than it would actually be helpful.
See, I don't think Martin was necessarily, when he said divide and conquer, I think what he meant was, you know, the government are the ones who are telling us we're all in this together, and then all of a sudden, well, actually, you're not really.
Well,
they do more than you.
Why aren't they back in the dial if we're all in this together?
Yeah, well, because somebody's they're paying a lot of money for the convention centre, that's why.
And I can stroll into a pub if I feel like it. Yeah. And they can't go back into the dial.
It'll be interesting to see whether they do go back into it now in September. I mean, that'll be interesting to see.
I'd be very surprised. Aren't they busy spending, what was it 25k a day or something like that?
Yeah, ridiculous amount of money to the convention centre.
Second, they should have stayed in the dorm and just given us all that money.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure the convention centre are quite happy, mind you. So when are you back, Graeme? When are you back?
I think our first actual day in school is the 26th. I'm doing some stuff for some other schools the day before, but of August.
We'll enjoy the next month or so off.
I absolutely intend
it. I'm changing career. I really am. Graeme, lovely talking to you again. Have a nice day. All right. Cheers.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.